And welcome back to the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. And we gave him last week off because of Thanksgiving, and look what it did to him. It made Matt Shook feel kind of down in the dumps now and kind of blucky. So we're going to perk his spirits up and get him healthy again by bringing him back on the show to talk about a couple of our favorite subjects. Let's start with the Pistons, who actually shot lights out for two games early in the week, and then they just ran into the Milwaukee Bucks last night, and that's going to stop a lot of people's streaks.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, really hot shooting against San Antonio and Cleveland, and that's a trend that's been going on all season long. The Pistons are one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league. I know they were number one. I'm not sure. I didn't look at the numbers after the Milwaukee game last night, but they're right up there, and to be doing that in a league that relies so much on three-point shooting and to still be 8-14 is a big problem for the Pistons. They're still in the playoff hunt. They're in sniffing distance of the 8th seed right now with Orlando. But the fact that the schedule has been so easy for the Pistons so far, and they're still 6 games under .500, it's definitely a reason for alarm. Despite the fact that, yeah, like you said, since Blake Griffin's been coming back, they've been playing better lately, but I'm still sounding the alarms right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, injuries do play a role in it. We have to admit that to a certain degree. But the bottom line is the Pistons are really bad defensively, and it's a team effort.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's going to bring fans back, right? Obviously, winning being the number one thing. But if you get a team in Detroit that's playing good defense, and I know that playing good defense means a lot different things than it did back in the late 80s and early 90s and even into the mid-2000s just because of the way that the game has changed. But, yeah, really disappointing to see a Detroit Pistons team with a coach in his second year who's known for his defensive coaching, too, to be this, you know, poor defensively, not one of the three or four worst teams in the league defensively, but in that next tier of bad defensive teams. That's pretty disconcerting and something that, to me, it's just kind of another reason to maybe reboot this thing and signal some change.
And it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me, Matt, why it's this way. They've got a big, powerful center who should be a shot-blocking presence, but really isn't. They've got, you know, some savvy veterans, Blake Griffin. You'd think he would be a good defender. We both like Bruce Brown and the way he plays. They brought Snell in. He's more known for playing defense than playing offense. And yet they can't stop anybody from scoring on them, whether it's inside or out.
Yeah, I think some of those names out there, like talk about Bruce Brown, really impressed last year with his defensive play. I think that's taken a little bit of a step back this year. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're asking him to do something offensively now as opposed to last year. So that makes life a little bit harder for him. Missing Blake Griffin for early in the season, I think, had a lot to do with it. He's not a great defensive player, no doubt about that, but he's kind of the captain of this team out there, the vocal leader, and I think his communication is something he's known he's a bad defensive player for a long time, so he does those shortcuts. He figures out positioning and ways to be more effective, even though he's not going to be given a lot of effort, although kudos to him. He's the one diving all over the floor all the time, and we know that's not certainly the only thing that matters in defense, but yet, I think Tony Snell's been disappointing defensively, and I think Luke Kennard is a guy who you're going to get a lot of minutes to, and you should give a lot of minutes to because he's a dynamic scorer and can lift the team offensively. But we know that he's not an atrocious defender, but he's not a very good defender either. And I think that another guy that you can kind of point the finger to and is Derrick Rose, and he's a guy who's brought more good than bad to this team so far, no doubt about that. But he's another guy who just gets dusted all the time by opposing guards, and some of them are real tough to stop in the NBA, no doubt about that, but it's a team that's got to figure that out. Langston Galloway is another guy who does a pretty good job all in all defensively, but certainly not a difference maker on that end. So there's just not a lot. I think Bruce Brown is kind of the one guy who has the ability to maybe become that defense stopper. Andre Drummond, given good effort, having a very solid season so far. But yeah, not a difference maker on that end either. So there's a lot of problems, and Dwayne Case is going to figure this out.
One bright spot, at least the game against the Spurs, he really stood out, and that was Christian Wood. And this is a guy we've kind of been talking about going back into the summer now.
Yeah, he's really stepping up. And I think that I got to give kudos to Dwayne Casey for this one, because every fan and the Pistons fan, and rightfully so, from the outside was saying, look how bad Thon Maker's playing. Why is he still getting minutes over Christian Wood? Totally understandable to watch the game and to come to that conclusion. And you're right, to a lesser extent. But I think that Dwayne Casey was kind of playing the long game a little bit there. Christian Wood's the guy who's bounced around the league, which doesn't make a lot of sense because of his size and his talent. Like, why does that make sense that the Pistons were able to get him off of waivers, that the Pelicans didn't want him on their 15-man roster? What's that all about? Well, I think there's some maturity issues and some focus issues, and I think Dwayne Casey wanted to have him earn his way into the Pistons' rotation. He did that, and now he's there. And like you said, 28-10 against the Spurs, playing well more nights than not, and becoming a guy who looks like he could be part of the future for this team or maybe some other team going forward. The problem is he's playing so well that he's probably going to have a whole bunch of suitors this summer. But I think something that the Pistons have working in their favor and something that's a definite strength for Dwayne Casey that doesn't get talked about enough is the way he develops relationships with some of these players, especially these young guys. Christian Wood wants to earn Dwayne Casey's trust, wants to become someone that Dwayne Casey wants to put on the floor. And when you talk about next summer, and if Christian Wood's got some offers, he's going to seriously give that some consideration when the Pistons are offering whatever they're offering in terms of a contract, and maybe he might be more apt to stay around because of Dwayne Casey.
You know, I don't know why he reminds me of this guy, because he's got way more game. But you remember Mikey Moore?
Oh, yeah.
He makes me think of Mikey Moore, just a real energy guy, real athletic, more of a defender and a rebounder than a scorer. Wood can score.
Yeah, yeah, and like you said, Mikey Moore, that's a good description because he was so tall and so long and so energetic, and Wood obviously has all those traits too. The question is, can Wood become more than that? Can he make another step? Is he a guy that can play 25 minutes in a game at some point as opposed to being, you know, really good and energetic for 15 to 20 minutes at this point? So, yeah, where's the next step? Is it consistency defensively? Is it strong enough to be able to handle big bodies down low? Is it good enough of a shot blocker and rebounder to become a difference maker on that aspect? And, you know, the consistency scoring. We love the jump shooting that he's been able to provide so far, but that seems like, you look at his past totals, it seems like it's a little bit of an anomaly so far. So draw consistency there, learn all the plays, do all the things that professional basketball players are supposed to do. But, yeah, I mean, this is looking like a guy that we can start talking about possibly as like a Bruce Brown and a Luke Kennard and a Sekou Doumbouya, as someone who might be part of a core going forward. Although, like I said, the contract situation for him is going to be something that the Pistons are going to have to figure out.
I'm a little nervous about December here. It looks like the Pistons are playing every other night. How are they going to manage Blake, and how are they going to manage Rose during this, and where are they going to give them their downtime, and against which teams do they think they can get away without having them in the lineup?
Yeah, I think you got to stagger it. I think you got to figure out ways to not have Rose and Blake out. And we can talk about Luke Kennard on that end because he sounds like he's got a bit of a knee thing going on right now. Reggie Jackson obviously is out already. We've seen other guys prop up Tony Snell on the injury report for here and there. Steve McTyluke this week as well. So, yeah, they got to stagger some of those guys. They got to figure out, to his credit, Blake Griffin continues every game to look a little bit better than he did the game before that. So it looks like he's playing himself into shape, first of all, but also avoiding getting worse. I mean, he's, you know, I think he went out up for a jump around the basket yesterday, and it was like, wow, he wasn't even touching the rim. I don't know if he was trying to get all the way up there, but the explosiveness is never going to come back for Blake Griffin. We know that. But, Dwayne Casey, that's one of the things that him and the medical team and the organization has to sit down and figure it out. Like you said, it's matchups. It's who else is available, and it's just figuring out ways to make this thing work so that they're playing pretty good basketball come March and April, when hopefully it might matter for this team.
Well, let's hope so. Just real quick thoughts, college basketball. Michigan has been a big surprise, and your thoughts on Juwan Howard, and did you expect the Wolverines to have a start like this under a new coach?
No, not consecutive top 10 victories in consecutive days, but yeah, I mean, they kind of came down to earth in Louisville the other day. But Juwan Howard is a guy that players want to play for. He still has cachet in that, you know, 16 to 22 age range because he played with LeBron, and people still know about the Fab Five. You can give that 30 for 30 credit that Jalen Rose put together. So, yeah, I think that and going down to the Bahamas, winning that tournament on a holiday weekend and doing the Cabbage Patch dance afterwards with the guys on the court. I think that thing kind of matters. I think that that image helped the University of Michigan. And I thought that this team should have been ranked near the bottom of the top 25 to start the season, because you got an experienced post guy back, you got one of the best point guards in the country back, and then you got a guy in Isaiah Livers who we all kind of figured would take some kind of step forward. Now we know he struggled at Louisville, but yeah, I really like this team. And I don't know if they're a national championship contender, but I'm looking around, and every night, the best team in the country, quote-unquote, loses. And so I don't know that there's anyone that's going to run away and be, the presumed Final Four favorites going into March. So it could be one of those years that we're kind of shuffling the number one team and top five teams in and out of the poll every year, because I just don't know the talent level. There's no Zion out there or anything like that. So it could be one of those seasons that's kind of weird. And I think Juwan will have him positioned to be, one of those top four seeds or so in the NCAA tournament. It should be a fun Big Ten season around here.
Yeah, and it's for that reason that I haven't given up on MSU yet, despite the three losses, simply because they have had zero luck so far with the Lankford situation, the Hauser situation, with Cassius Winston's brother's death. You know that they're not making it an excuse, but you know that that weighs on a kid like that, and you know that as Cassius goes, the Spartans are going to go. But I think that before it's all said and done, they'll be playing really good basketball more nights than they don't.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be insane to give up on a Tom Izzo team with three losses right now. I think that Tom Izzo, if you caught him in an honest moment, he might say that, yeah, I don't mind losing three games, because he's going to have a very captive audience throughout the holiday season. And like you said about Cassius Winston, we can't put ourselves into his head, and obviously such a sad situation that he's going through. But you do kind of hope, in the non-important world of college basketball that's going on with all the things going on in his world. But, for our sake as fans, we kind of hope that, maybe you get through the holidays, you get a couple weeks off of schoolwork and all the stuff that you have to deal with outside of basketball, and then maybe come February, life kind of normalizes a little bit for him. And come Big Ten season, basketball becomes something of a refuge for him. And then that hopefully this can kind of be a positive in a small way for him going forward as he looks towards a possible NBA future as well. So, maybe it could be something that motivates this team and rallies them around their best player come January or February. And like I said, there's no way I'm going to write off a Tom Izzo team before Christmas because they're not looking good. Now, there's concerns. You want to have guys like Hall and Rocket Watts develop very quickly because they're not looking very good right now. Aaron Henry, I'll throw on that list as well, a guy that's talked about as a possible first-round draft pick. Doesn't look like it right now, but that Izzo's going to get on those guys. And I don't think they're going to get pumped like they did against Duke in terms of being out-tough and outworked. I have a good feeling that Tom Izzo's going to rectify that problem and have them playing tough and have them playing very good basketball come March.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I've been fighting it and holding it off for as long as I can. Tell me about the Lions, and tell me about the game in Minnesota on Sunday, and how you think David Blau will handle that start. Obviously, it'll be a little bit different than playing the Bears on Thanksgiving at Ford Field, to have to go to Minnesota this week.
Yeah, David Blau, wasn't that kind of fun on Thanksgiving Day? I know that it's not really possible to put fun in the Lions in the same sentence, especially this season, but man, that was kind of like an hour and a half until the 2-minute drive, and you kind of had it going there for the first part of the 2-minute drive, got him down to the 25. But yeah, I thought it was kind of fun to watch David Blau when you had really no expectations for him. So I got a story by the time this episode that we're airing here runs. Hopefully it's up on DetNews.com. But I talked to David Blau yesterday, and also his Purdue teammate who just joined the Lions as a practice squad tight end, Cole Herdman, and talked to those guys about Blau's history. So, yeah, I mean, it's something. Obviously, they're going to lose to Minnesota. Like, there's no doubt about that. I bet they do cover a 13-point spread just because the Lions have a propensity to stay in games. You got to give them credit for that. They've been leading in every single game this season, which is probably more bad than good when you look at the record and how that reflects on Matt Patricia. But, yeah, Minnesota's just too good. They've got too much to play for, and I can't imagine that watching them play on Monday night and then watching what we watch every week from the Detroit Lions, that they got any chance of winning this game. So, I'm not expecting much, but fun to watch Kirk Cousins, fun to watch Dalvin Cook run, and fun to see if these Minnesota Vikings defensive players that were so good, I mean, this was the best unit in the league a couple of years ago, they're all aging a little bit. Xavier Rhodes looks like one of the worst cornerbacks in the NFL right now, which is hard to believe given we know how good he was back in the day. There's just a lot of guys that are getting older, and if they're going to be able to make a run in the NFC playoffs, they've got to turn it around, and if they can't stop the Lions, then I'm going to tell you what, they're going to be in trouble.
Well, Kerryon Johnson will be in Port Huron on Saturday. I wish he would be in Minnesota on Sunday, but that's not going to happen. But kind of a nice little surprise has been the way Scarborough has played for the Lions, and I think it's kind of gone under the radar, but he's had some good games.
Yeah. Blau and Scarborough are kind of, and Jeff Driscoll to a lesser extent before he finished his season with an injury, wasn't as bad. I mean, it's like when you're looking at a guy who could possibly be your backup quarterback going forward, nothing to scoff at there. But yeah, both Scarborough running more like he did in Alabama for those two great seasons that he had there and that huge backfield of NFL stars now with Josh Jacobs and all those guys as well. So I think that Bo Scarborough provides some hope. Obviously, maybe Kerryon Johnson gets back on the field for these last two games. I don't think it's a good idea, but he's practicing right now as if he's going to come back. Maybe he's got that Auburn-Alabama rivalry going in his mind where he can't lose his job to Bo Scarborough. But, yeah, Lions fans got to be pleased with the way Bo is running. We had a story on him a couple days ago in the Detroit News, and he's a good guy, interesting guy to talk to. And I think he just kind of fell through the cracks with Dallas and Seattle there for the last couple of years, but found a nice home in Detroit. And hopefully he sticks around and hopefully, take a little bit of the load off of Kerryon Johnson next year if Bo Scarborough is still here. I don't think that you want Johnson carrying the ball 25 times a game given his injury history, and it could be a nice little 1-2 punch.
All right. Tell them about the podcast.
Yeah, we're still going. Locked On Pistons. And tell you what, December 15th is the beginning of trading season, unofficially, because you can now start trading players that you signed in the offseason, which is about a third of the NBA. So Locked On Pistons, we're going to be talking trade season for a couple months because it's tough to watch these games and talk about them every single day. But we'll continue to do it. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts, Stitcher, all that good stuff. You can find us there. And, we're there every day. And talking Pistons, just like you guys all want to do.
All right. Get better. Don't work too hard.
I will. I'm taking care of myself. And, I'm always making sure that I'm getting some breaks. Don't worry about that.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Matt.
Thanks, Dennis.
All right, there's Matt Shook joining us on the program as he does weekly here on the Dennis Stuckey Show on AM 1380 WPHM.